What is your full name?
Virginia May Rep.
And where do you currently reside? Your address?
Oh, 530 Atwood.
And this is Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff, and we're interviewing on November 9th, 2009. Okay, when and where were you born?
North of 9 miles north of Kinsley, February 27th, 1918.
And who were your parents?
Hannah and William Leopold.
And what was Hannah's maiden name?
Hannah Winter.
Winter. And your grandparents, what were their names? Do you remember?
Gottlieb Leopold. Mother's parents, I don't know what her mother's name was. Winters. But
you
can't.
You remember his name?
I don't.
They were just grandma and grandpa.
I think Fred, but I'm pretty sure that's right, Fred.
Okay. What brought your grandparents or parents to Edwards County?
My father was born and raised in Illinois, and he came out here to homestead. And he came to Edwards County, north of Kinsley, and he homesteaded.
So he was a farmer?
He was a farmer, yes.
And you know what year that was or not?
It was in the late 1800s. I can't tell you the year, but I know the folks were married in 1899. So it was several years before that.
Well, he met her out here? He met...
My mother was born in Germany. She came over about five years of age, and her brothers wanted to get out of Germany to get out, not go in the service in the army. So her brother came, and he went to, I think, to Buckland, Kansas, and then the other boys came, then the rest of the family came. And mother came over here, and she worked as a girl working and worked for Grandma Leopold. Then my dad, then she met my dad, and then they were married.
Oh, okay. So she was working for your grandparents.
Yeah.
His grandparents.
Yes, for Grandma.
His parents.
Grandma, yeah. Grandma Leopold.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. So describe the household you grew up in, how many brothers and sisters, and what was it like living and growing up in your household?
Well, I had three brothers and three sisters.
Where did you fit in the...
I was the last one. I'm 4 years. Mother was 40 years old when I was born, which was a little old in those days. But so I was the baby, kind of a pet, more whatever some of them told me.
So what was the farm like that you lived on? What did you raise and crops and have it?
Oh, yes, yes. We had quite a large farm, and one of the biggest, big red barn, one of the biggest ones in that township. People knew that place by that big red barn. And then we lived just across the pasture from the Salem Cemetery, which is now still the Salem Cemetery. Most of my relatives are buried in this cemetery.
And so you raise cattle?
Oh, yes, 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 they have cattle. Mm-hmm.
And what other livestock? Chicken?
Baby? Oh, yeah, chickens, yeah. I don't think much of anything else.
Not pigs?
No, they would buy pigs, and yes, and maybe they would raise them, then they'd butcher them, I suppose, sure. You'd get them as little, when they were little and cute, they'd bring them home, and then they'd raise them, and I hate to see them butcher them, but they did, and we ate it. And cattle, and we had our own cattle. During the Depression, some people didn't have enough to eat, and we didn't even think about that. Because we had more than enough. We raised our own garden, and the mother canned, and gosh, we had plenty of food, plenty of meat, plenty of everything.
And then you grew wheat and corn?
Oh, yes, yes, raised wheat, yes, yes. Usually had a pretty good crop and until we came to the Depression years in the 30s during the Dust Bowl, which everybody had maybe a little rough time of it, too.
Mm-hmm. So. What do you remember about that time?
Well, I found this old diary. Just happened, I was looking through the other day, and I was 17 years old. And it was in March, and I belonged to this 4-H club, which is a big thing for the kids. And we had gone over to Ray Fields, which probably Rosetta remembers them, May and Ray Field, and their kids were in 4-H. And we went over there for this meeting that night, and I rode with my brother. And I know after the meeting, we kids got ready to go home, and some of the boys went outdoors, and they said, "We can't go home. We can't. You can't see a thing." And so the field said, "Well, you kids are not going to leave here. You're going to stay all night." And so some of us girls thought that was a good deal. We laughed, you know, and we sat around. We played games and I think sang songs. And I don't know until finally they went outdoors and realized that it cleared up. That was going on 1 o'clock. So we drove on home then. And my brother was driving at that time. I was, well, as I say, 17. He would have been 21, yes. But that was, and then that day it had been, my diary said it was 81 degrees, which was real hot. Then the next day turned down to be about 32 degrees, so it was a front coming in. And then we kept having, I looked up there, and we kept on having these storms until about, that was in March, that about June we start getting rains. And from then on, we had several good rains, and that seemed to be the worst of it. It ended, the one, at least for that year, and I think that might have been the worst year. Mm-hmm. I think we may have had some dust up, and you know, in later years, but I'm not sure.
But now, was your home pretty tight, or did you go through the usual putting rags?
Oh, it was terrible. you cleaned dust before you could set your table and eat. You just wipe off the place, you know, and your dishes you'd wipe them off. And oh, yes, and I remember that very well. Oh, yes, yes. Some people hung wet cloths on the in the windows. I don't remember that we did that. And our house was, it was built about 1900. So it was pretty good shape. But nothing kept out that dirt, I don't believe.
Because it was so fine.
Yes, very fine, very fine.
Now, some people have told us about the grasshoppers and things. Do you remember that? Or?
I remember later when the grasshoppers came. I can't tell you what year that was. Yes, they were bad. I think maybe they ate the crops. But that must have been later. I'm just not sure of that. I remember all of it, but, you know, and dates, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. You said you, when we started out, that you were the baby and the spoiled one, but did you have chores to do?
Did
you have any chores to do when you were growing up?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I even milked cows, and which I didn't exactly enjoy it, but I sort of kept up with my brothers, and I had to show my older brother that I could milk as good as he could. I could milk a cow faster than he could. Showing off a little bit, you know. And I always milk cows. I helped. I did, you know, worked in the house and garden, which I didn't like, but I would rather work in the house and cook and did, you know, general housework while I was home there.
Now, where'd you go to school?
Well, I just went to the old country school.
Do you know what school it was called? Did it have a number or what it was called?
District number 9. It was called Churchview School in the olden days. And I didn't get to come on into high school at that time. I had to get my, I finally got my GED diploma after I was 65 years old when I finally got all that and got my high school.
So how many years did you go through school, in formal school?
Oh, out there I just went the 8 years.
The 8 years. And then why did you quit after that?
Well, my dad didn't think girls should go on to school, which I didn't agree with at all. But what are you going to do, a little kid 14 years old? Mm-hmm. You don't have much to say. And I always regretted it, not going to high school and getting my diploma. So when I finally got it at 65, I was real happy.
Yeah.
And then I went on to, I took classes at the
college
here. I went and took 5 classes and loved every minute of it.
Now, did your brothers go on to school?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No.
Did they finish high school?
No.
Everybody just went through the 8th grade.
My older sister did, Matilda. And then she finished her school. Then she went away, become a deaconess in the Methodist Church. And she was back in, basically, in Ohio. And she spent all her life back there. And then she married a minister. Mm-hmm. And then they moved to Florida. But she's the only one that, got out and got her education. But I was, I'm not bragging, but I, when I took my junior college, it was when I got my GED here in Kinley. I'd go every Monday night, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And it was so easy for me because I'd read all my life, and it wasn't any big deal. So when we got through with our school and ready for get a diploma, they took us to the junior college up there and had a dinner for us. And then they called these names, those that had scholarships. And out of 70-some, I was one of them, and 4 or 5 of us. Mm-hmm. But they neglected to tell me that I had gotten a scholarship. And so they called my name, and I was sitting by a man, which was alphabetically, mm-hmm. and said, Virginia Rapp. And they said, for scholarship, come on up to stage. And I just sat there. He said, isn't that you? And I said, yeah, but there's been a mistake. I won't go. So when they called it the third time, I felt I better get up and go up there. And I went up there and received my diploma and also the scholarship. And my husband was so proud of me. I think I was one of the oldest in the class.
Probably. And now, you said you read all your life. Did you... Even though you didn't go on to school, were you reading then? Like,
oh, yes,
when you were 16,
yes,
17? Where did you get your books?
Kinsley Library. Oh, gosh. I think you'd asked me about that before. And we decided that I was 80 years ago I came in there. And it might have been one of, I don't know how many came in, but I read the Bobbsey Twins. You said you might have still had them. Mm-hmm. And I loved to read. And I just thought that was wonderful. And I still do.
So the family come to town like once a week or something back then, or?
Yes, every couple of weeks, I guess. I can't remember how I brought the books back, whether I sent them back with somebody or just what. But I thought that was great. We could read all those books and they didn't cost you anything because I didn't have a lot of extra cash. I mean.
No. Okay, let's see. You were born in 1918. So in December 7th, 1941, that makes you old.
I'm 91 right now.
28, 38. You were 23 years old on December 7th, 1941. Is that right? Maybe we.
Yes,
we,
yes, I would have been.
You got married in 1940. So let's go. Let's not go to that yet.
Yeah, I was 22 when I was married.
Where did you meet your husband? You want to tell us about that?
Well, as I showed you the picture in there, I was about 12 or 13, and I liked the looks of this guy. Said, when I grow up or get big, I'm going to marry a guy that looks like that. Well, you know.
And you were talking about what? You were talking for the tape.
Talking about Howard. You know,
but where you'd seen the pictures where?
It was I came to town with my girlfriend, and they came down the street here at the Stacks, and that was her aunt. And she said, well, that's a guy I'm going with, Howard Rapp. Well, okay, that's fine. So
So you saw his picture and you thought that's somebody you would like to marry.
I said, I like his looks. I hope to marry a guy that looks like that. And so then I came to town later. I was about 19, I guess. And this lady who I worked for died. So I went to a funeral along with my mother and sister. And this woman was a neighbor of my husband's parents. And he worked at that, he worked at Burdett at that time, Burdett, Kansas, in a general merchandise store. And it was the old Methodist church, and I knew who he was, and he kind of knew I was a little girl, but we'd never met. And I looked back there, and I saw this guy, and gee, I know him. And I swear, I looked at him, and every time I looked, he was looking at me. I don't know what, we just kept looking at each other. And so it must have been love at first sight, you suppose? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he wrote me a letter. Those days you didn't call. Wrote me a letter and asked for a date. And I was engaged at the time, so I turned him down. But we weren't getting along. So later I wrote him back and said I would be glad to go with him. From then on, we went together 2 years.
What was your first date?
How was it?
What was it? What did you do on your first date?
Oh, I don't think anything. Just rode around, you know, getting acquainted and all. And we drive along, and we used to ride around, and I'd play the harmonica, or else he'd play the harmonica with one hand and drive, and I'd sing, and oh, we'd just be silly, you know.
And you said at this time you were working for other people as a housekeeper? Or?
Yes, at that particular time, I was a housekeeper for Gracia Beter Beck. She was a librarian at the school. Librarian, I think that's correct. And she had this little boy, Pearson. And so I just stayed there all through the week. I'd go home on weekends.
You're like a nanny for the little boy?
Yes. Yeah, he was a good kid, really good kid. But I did the cooking, you know, I had a lot of free time. But this Pearson, of course, he lives now in Manhattan. Rosetta knows him, I'm sure. And when my 91st birthday picture came out in the Kinsley paper, he saw it, and he wrote to me, and he said, I'll never forget how good you were to me. I've got that nice letter. He said, you took care of this little boy, and I helped him with his music. I helped him with his studies.
How old was he about then?
He was 8 when I first went there. So now he would be like 78 or 79. He was always not a hard kid to take care of. The only thing I didn't like it there was a dog. He'd jump up on you, and we didn't train him. I guess nobody ever trained him. And then about once a month we had to give him a bath, which was awful.
So you're... husband-to-be was in Burdett, and you were here, and how long did you go together, were you engaged, or before you got married?
A couple of years. We wanted to get married, but that was 1939, where you're just coming out of, he had came back over to Kinsley, And he was running the Phillips 66 station up in north part of town, she knows. And I'd see him a lot, and in fact, he lived with his parents at that time. And
where were you living?
I was with this Rachel.
You were a live-in, okay.
Yeah, and so I knew what time he went back to work, and so he'd honk at me, and I'd go to the window, and we'd be, and sometimes he'd come in, you know, and we'd smooch a little, maybe a minute or two, and he'd go on, oh boy, couldn't afford to get married, so, you know. But anyway, finally, oh.
And so...
I'll tell you about the wedding if you would like.
Okay, well, just you said you was 39 and you put off getting married because of just you couldn't didn't have the money.
We didn't think we had enough to live on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't making too much money.
All right. So now tell us about the wedding.
Well, it was in 39. The Kingsley Methodist Church women. Was trying to make money, as they always were, and somebody came up with the idea that they would have a wedding dress review, which somebody had heard of that before, and you'd borrow women's dresses that had been married in these dresses, and then they'd, a high school girl or some young girl would model it. Then somebody else came up with the idea, said, you know what it be fun if a real couple got married, and said, well, yeah, but who would we get? Well, my mother-in-law, she was to be my mother-in-law, and we'd been going together, and she and I became very good friends. She said, well, maybe my son and his girlfriend would consider getting married. So they'd been wanting to get married. So she approached me, and I thought, oh, it sounds like fun, you bet. Well, Howard said, I don't know. You mean in a church full of people? Well, if that's what you want, I guess, okay, all right. So we agreed. So we, it cost you 10 cents to go. And the funny part about it was that Mrs. Stutenberger, which is a friend of the family, she saw me one day and she said, Virginia, I'm selling tickets for this wedding dress review. I'd like to sell you a ticket. You know, I never lied. I never lie. I make a point to say I never lied about anything. What am I going to say? I just might have to work. I didn't know what to say. And so, okay. And after, then she found out it was us that got married. It was two.
So people didn't know you were getting married that day?
Nobody knew it.
Nobody knew it.
It was a secret.
It was a secret.
It was a secret, and that...
Did they advertise that somebody was getting married, or just it was going to be the bridal dress review?
It was bridal dress review and a surprise wedding.
And a surprise wedding.
The old church was... I think the balconies were full. There were people every place. They made money on that. The women said... Well, they said they'd furnished all the music. Reverend Little was a pastor. Of course, he'd perform the ceremony, and they'd a lady would make me a veil, which she did. And so, of course, my husband thought, sounded like a good deal. One didn't cost him very much. So as we marched in, Walter and Nadine Stutenberger, they had the spotlight, and they put the spotlight on us as we went down the aisle. So we went in style. I think the only folks knew that was there, my parents and my family and his parents, you know. Uh-huh. But it was a big surprise to a lot of. And I met people uptown a couple years after that. Yeah, I went to your wedding, they say. And it got to be real fun. It was real funny.
Isn't that something?
But I like to be anything. I like to try, like my videographer said. You get something new, you'll try it, won't you, Virginia? Said, you're usually ready to try anything new. Not everything, but I mean.
So then, did you have a reception or honeymoon? After the ceremony? I mean, how do you top that?
Well, in those days, it don't seem to hit anything at the church, but my husband's aunts were living right here in this house, And they decided, well, we had to have something. So all the relatives and all close friends came here, and they had coffee and punch right in here. And that evening, then we rented the little cottage, which is in the back here, and we moved in there. And that was in 1940. And 5 years later, I moved over here, and I've been here ever since. So I'm not a mover.
I like new things, but not in houses. Okay, so that brings us up to December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor Day. Do you remember Pearl Harbor and what you were doing? And
I don't. I remember it, of course, and we heard it, and it's, of course, horrible and all that. But I don't remember what we were doing.
It was a Sunday.
Yes, yes. We were home here, I think, and I probably come in and turn on radio. I just don't remember, you know, until the paper and then radio starts talking about it. And I realized how terrible it was. And my brother, Robert, was one of the first that was called up to go to service. And Howard didn't get called. Well, he thought he'd like to go, but he went in and found out that he had a punctured eardrum, so they didn't want him to go to service. So that went on for a while, but then about a year later, they called him anyway, and he went in. And he was in then, and then when his buddies were being sent to England, and they thought they would work in the postal department, but there might be loud shells because they were bombing through there. And they said, well, now, a loud shell could make you deaf for life. So we do not think you should go. If you go with your group, you won't be with your buddies. It'll put you in limited service. You have your choice. You can go in limited service or you can come home. Well, he wanted to go to England, but he wanted to come home too. But he said, one of his buddies in his group said, how do you punch your eardrum? Will a broom straw do it? And the guys would actually thought they'd like to puncture theirs. His was punctured when he had an abscess, and that's when they did in those days. I understand they still do that. But anyway, after he called me, and I said, oh, come on home. Well, how will I get to England, though? How will I ever get that trip? Well, he thought about it, but he decided to come home. So he got discharged then.
Okay, he was in the Army and worked in the postal
department. Postal unit.
What branch of service was your brother in? Your brother, what branch of service was he in?
Military police.
In the Army again?
In the Army, yes.
And he went in right after Pearl Harbor, you said, right?
Yes, he went in very shortly. The group from Edwards County, I think he was in the first group. Robert Lippold was very, his name was right up there. Just, they drew names, I understand. And his was one of them.
And how old would he have been then, probably?
Well, let me see. I was 26 or 27. He was 27, yeah. He wasn't married.
He wasn't married.
No, no.
So that would put him in the first group, too, probably.
Yes, yes, yes.
And where did he serve? What, was he in Europe, or?
Oh, yes. And he went to, they would bring prisoners over and back and forth. I don't know where they brought them, to California, I think. And
so he transported, like,
back and
German
forth.
German prisoners of war? Or?
Yes. He was with Vernon. I remember his good friend was Vernon Kirkbride. And they were just buddies, and they were both in the military police. But Robert was in 4 years when he got his discharge then. And he... let me see. He was married when he came on the furlough, and then he had one son. Can't remember if any other. I mean, most of those other boys must have been buried. Must have been born too, because he had three boys then. And they all lived in Wichita.
So he got married while he was in the service, you said?
Yes, yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, yes. He was married right here in Kinsley. I know, I stood up for him. Yeah, remember that? He and I were buddies. Always had been, yeah.
Did you correspond with him during the war?
Oh, yes, definitely. I worried about him. Oh, gosh, I was worried about him. Over there where they were fighting, I just knew something would happen to him. It didn't. Thank goodness, you know.
And he was going with the woman that he would marry.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. When we were married, my brother stood up for us. He walked down the aisle in the Methodist church. Poor guy was so pale, he was scared to death. My husband was scared to death.
Well, all those people.
Yeah, and his girlfriend, who he was going with, Helen Wagoner at that time. And she was my bridesmaid, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we were always...
Okay, well, this one,
well, I would like to tell you one thing about him. While we were in service, mm-hmm. He was stationed in Westchester, Pennsylvania. And those guys, they were stationed at the college. They wore uniforms. They didn't wear. They dressed up every day. And anyway, I went back there to.
How did you get there? Train or?
I went on the train. Yes, and the train.
What was that like?
It was so crowded. My goodness sakes! I remember. Seemed like part of the time they had to sit on their suitcase or something, or put your suitcase right beside you. But oh, it was quite an experience. I'd never been on a train before, and the mother worried about me going, and I said, "Oh, don't worry about me. You know, I'll get along fine." So I went on back there. I stopped on the way in Ohio, which my sister was married, and her husband was a minister there, so I stayed a few days with them, and on the way back there, they lost my suitcase, and good thing I could wear her clothes, because I had nothing to wear except my underwear, but anyway, my suitcase came a little later, then I went on back to Westchester, Pennsylvania, and a couple of his buddies, their wives, because were there also, and they had rooms in the area. So we three girls became real good friends, and I lived with this family, a man and a woman. He worked for the postal department, which is kind of interesting. I don't know where she worked, but he would get home early in that day, and so he and I would visit a lot. And I had just the run of the house. They decided I was a pretty good kid. I could do anything I wanted to. I could read all their books. I could cook if I wanted to, but I went uptown every day for my noon meal, which the other girls did, Jerry and Helen did also. So we girls, we trotting along to town, and this woman come out of her house one day and said, "I see you girls go by every day." She said, "Any of you happen to be from Kansas?" Jerry said, "I'm from Iowa." Helen said, "I'm from Missouri, Kansas City." I said, "I'm from Kansas." She said, "Well, my husband has relatives back in Kansas." He said, "It's a little town. I don't imagine you've ever heard of it." She said, "The Henry Draughts live there. Little town of Kinsley, Kansas." I guess I dropped my teeth. I said, "That's my hometown." Well, she couldn't believe it. I couldn't either. She told her husband, and so they wanted to meet my husband. They had us over for dinner, and we had a very good time, you know, visiting. But that was very unusual, I thought, you know.
Yeah. So then you would get to see your husband at night or while you were there? Did he get to come and be with you at night?
Oh, yes, yes, just a little ways away, and they would come over every evening. we'd go out and sometimes go out and eat. One time we went out on a picnic. One time we had no vehicles. We'd all hike, you know, and we went to a dance one night, and then we three couples pretty much.
Was the dance at the... Was it a USO dance, or was it just a city-town dance?
You know, I can't remember. They treated you pretty special. I know when I was in Westchester, we had our anniversary, and I guess when I first got there, and I got a new suit, new shoes, and went back there. And so we decided we would go someplace for our anniversary. So we went into Philadelphia, took the train in, and I wore my new shoes, and they had heels on them. Can you imagine what happened? Oh, when I walked all day, come back on the little train at night, and my feet hurt me so bad, I took off my shoes, got back to Westchester, I couldn't get my shoes on, so I had to walk in, and of course, I'm carrying my shoes, but anyway. Oh boy. You want to look nice.
Well, yeah.
You don't dress up like it, in jeans like nowadays. Anyway.
And your husband was in the service just the 8 months and was discharged because of the
hearing. No, he was in Westchester, and then he was sent to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, for further training, and it was July. He said, I don't think you can stand it. You want to go home? I said, I sure do. So I came home, and I went back to work for Ray Smith in the confectionery, which Rosetta probably remembers. And I'd worked there while Howard was in service. And then Ray, he liked me, so I just went back in there and went to work.
And you were living in the little house then?
Yes, yes. I had another girl live with me.
Were there other girls in town whose husbands were gone?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The whole town, you might say. All my friends and the people I would meet would come in the store. And everybody, yeah, you bet.
So what did you girls do on your own without all your husbands home?
Well, you'd work, and then you'd come home and write your husband a letter. That's about what it amounted to. Wages weren't very much. I remember there was a little restaurant across the street, and I didn't think I could afford to eat there except on Sunday. And I would eat there on Sunday noon because I get a good big meal for 50 cents. You know, otherwise I'd keep my money.
You got money from the service also?
Yes, yes. I can't remember. It seemed like it was 80 a month, something. I'm not sure. But it was enough to... I had money when I went back to Pennsylvania. So I don't know if there's anything else.
How did the community support you girls? What was the community like? Did they support you and the war effort?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think our whole town, and I think everybody, you were treated back in Pennsylvania, you were really special. I remember we went to the zoo, and they saw my husband in uniform. We were in the line. Come on, let the soldier and his wife come on up there, and they treated you special. You were special. Well, the people I stayed with, they said, well, you were not just ordinary soldiers. You were you're high class because you were in the postal unit. And so it really helped, you know. They wore uniforms all the time. They were dressed up, yeah.
And how about back here in Kinsley? Did they treat you special here, too?
Oh, no. You were just an old hometown. No, you're just a hometown kid. No, you weren't special. No. You're just, no. Oh, dear. I went to work for Raven Smith. We stayed there. And then when Howard came home for good, I said, well, I wanted to quit. He said, nah, Virginia, won't you stay and work for me? I depend on you too much. So I did. And then finally he decided he wanted to sell out, so we bought the place. So we were there from 1948 to 1984. I haven't told you, I don't know if you're interested in my trips. First I want to tell you that transportation, my sister-in-law and I had a round trip to Portland, Oregon. That's from Dodge City on the Amtrak. Round trip for $225.
When was this?
1983.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we get up to the more modern stuff, let me finish up a couple other things, I think, on World War II.
Yes.
At the end of the war, do you remember fellas coming home? I mean, your husband is already home, but were there any celebrations, or what was it like when they started coming back from war?
No, I don't remember too much. I remember when we came home, they were wanting people to work in defense factories. And we thought, well, we didn't own anything. We lived in the little cottage. And we thought maybe we should go. California was really wanting people. In fact, Howard's sister, Myrna Rankin, her husband was in service, and she went back there to work. And I said, well, let's go. Of course, I always wanted to go someplace or do something. And we almost decided to, and then he had to leave. He said, I don't want to leave the old home place, old hometown. So we didn't make it out. We had, so therefore.
What were some of the sacrifices that you made during the war here? Do you remember some of the things?
You know, I guess I was lucky. I really didn't sacrifice. Even my husband came home, mm-hmm. which some girls, I remember Dorothy Belcher, I said, met her uptown. She was crying. Her husband had lost a leg. And some of them were killed. I don't anybody particularly close that I knew. So I realized it was a horrible thing and all that, but it didn't affect me.
Did it change your brother any when he came back? Did it change your brother any?
Well, yes, it did. It because you get him started on it, and he could just go on and on and on, you know.
Because he been so he wouldn't talk about the war.
Yes. He was in so long. And, no, I guess maybe some of that is just cloudy in my mind. I don't, since it didn't affect me personally, I don't remember too much about it.
You remember the rationing? Rationing during the war?
Yes. Oh, yes. You bet.
What was rationed?
The gas was the worst thing because, well, I was in Pennsylvania. These people would want to, the people I lived with would want to take you places. And of course, I could give them my car because I didn't have any card, any car. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, and food.
What types of food? Sugar?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I wasn't deprived. I must have not been because it didn't stick in my mind.
Do you know I know they probably sold war bonds, didn't they?
Is what?
Sold war bonds?
Oh, yes. We all bought the war bonds, you bet. Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything else? Did women wrap bandages or do anything else like
no,
that?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't the people I associated with, at least. I think maybe they did in school or something, I heard. Mm-hmm. But see, I was an old 24-year-old woman.
And you talked about being on the train, and it was crowded because there were a lot of servicemen and servicemen's wives and going. And
You bet.
Do you remember stopping places where they would feed the servicemen or anything, or have... With a train? No,
I don't. I think it was going on, but we didn't stop that much, or I didn't notice it. Some things you know you remember, and other things you don't.
Yeah, right.
If it don't affect.
And the trains didn't stop here.
No. See, I went on, like I say, to Pennsylvania, and then back on the train, which is a new experience. But they treated you fine, except trains were bumpy, and they just used any kind of a train, I guess, you know, to transport all these people wanting to take the boys and then take the wives and whatever. But it's crowded.
Now, you were a woman, and you did, you know, go to work and everything. Do you think the war changed what you did as a woman?
Personally, I would say probably not. Since my brother, my special brother, got home in good shape, my other brother got home all right, Roy. And so.
Oh, you had another brother in the service?
Yes,
too.
Another brother in the service.
What branch was he in, Roy?
Just plain old Army, I think.
Did he serve in Europe?
Yes, he went over there. Something about they were driving tanks, you know, and he got. Some of that made him so nervous, and he got kind of not a medical discharge, but he got a discharge where he wasn't too, you know.
What we'd call post-traumatic syndrome today? Hmm? Post-traumatic syndrome, we'd call that today?
Yeah, probably.
So and it did affect him then? Did the effects last for him? Or?
No. And then he was married while he was in service too. This my nephew, this favorite, his sister was born when they were in California. And no, it didn't affect me, like a lot of people, I'm sure, you know.
Well, and some of the women, you know, went to work in the war plants, and
yes.
It sort of changed the role of women. Did you see that at all? Yes,
it would. The sister-in-law, they went to California, and they were there for years. But since Howard came home, and we just kind of carried on our lives as we had before. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a person to could tell you too much about it, you know. Not that we weren't affected. We were all affected and all concerned, of course. Wanted the war to be over, of course. Goodness.
Do you remember VEJ Day or VJ Day, when the bombing of Hiroshima, or... Do you remember any of that at the end of the war?
We were all concerned and about it, and my husband followed very, very much. She was very interested, you know. And I just, didn't pay that much attention to it. Too dumb to know what was going on. I hadn't been over there, and I didn't know anybody, you know. Just didn't.
were there any celebrations or anything when the war ended?
I don't remember that. I don't think so, particularly not in this our small town.
Yeah. That's what most people have said. That
there wasn't that many coming home at once, you see. Yeah, there would be one come home, and he'd all be so glad, you know, that everybody was okay. And we'd ask about, we'd see people, how's your husband, and do you hear from so-and-so, you know. So we were all concerned for everybody, of course. I know that, yeah. Oh, the dust storms. I don't, you know, when it don't affect you, you don't remember it as much, I guess, you know.
Well, we're finding, you know, that Edwards County was a little protected, you know.
I think so. I think we weren't in too bad a shape, just maybe like we are right now with our recession. Maybe it affects some people, but some of my friends, it don't seem to make that much difference.
Let's see, another question we've been asking everybody, simply because we're sort of curious, as far as minorities go in Kinsley, blacks and Hispanics, what do you remember about them during this time? Did you go to school with any?
No, I don't remember. Of course, the Gaines were always here in Kinsley, and Martha Gaines became friends. She talked to everybody. And we were a little Negroes you didn't associate with them so much. I remember going to the schoolhouse and in the gym and sitting there, and here come Martha bounding over and sat down by me. Well, I talked to her, but I was a little squeamish. Wasn't that silly? Mm-hmm. You know, you just didn't sit next to a Negro. And the Mexicans, somehow, I never felt that way with Mexicans. I don't know where I got that idea. It was what I read, or I don't know. You just get. I still don't think as much as Negroes as Mexicans now. I just think Mexicans or Spanish are great people. In the hospitals and all, the nurses and all, and they're wonderful people. I'm sure the Negroes are too, but I just never knew them personally as much.
And the theater was segregated. At the Palace Theater, the blacks had to sit.
I suppose they were. Yes. Uh huh. So you know more about that than
well,
I do.
Well, we've been talking to a lot of people. So.
Oh yes, you would.
Okay, in Ray Smith's store. Could the Negroes and the Hispanic come in and buy?
There weren't any Negroes ever came in, I don't think.
Okay.
And I don't remember any Mexicans ever coming in.
But you would have waited on them, or he would have waited on them, or...
Well, you don't do... I can't answer.
You don't know.
Because
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Negroes, I probably would have hesitated. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not prejudiced to Negroes.
Well, there was a different time period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't want to. I hope none of my relatives would intermarry with them. I think, you know, they have their place. But
okay. I was just curious.
I don't know. You're. Ask me things. I don't know.
Okay, are we done with World War II, Mr. Hill?
You probably got enough. I was going to...
Well, no, you can now. You can tell us some more about what you've done since that time, if you'd like to, some of your trips or...
Oh, yes. I started going... I belong to Extension, and I...
Extension, was that around during World War II, or was that something that started after?
Oh, I belonged all my married life.
This is something you would have been doing?
FCE, mm-hmm. See. I might mention that in those days, as I'm sure you know, that I started driving my folks' Model T Ford. I was 12 years old. My brother took me out in the pasture so he could taught me how to shift and how to, so I was just driving along. Heavens, by 14, I was driving into Kinsley and all around. Didn't need a license, and I loved it, you know. And I can't imagine my dad letting me drive the big Chrysler at 14 years old. I wouldn't have let a kid of mine drive that, but
you
I did.
You were probably pretty responsible.
Well, I never had a wreck, fortunately, and I don't know, but I guess it was, you know.
Did you ever drive the farm vehicles?
No, I had too many brothers. You know, when you have three brothers and they were all farmers, they didn't need me. I used to go out and take lunch to them or take a cold drink, and my older brother, Paul, he'd get lonesome riding it. He said, come on, Toots, ride the tractor with me. So I'd sit on the fender and ride, because I talked all the time. And I guess he liked that. Bring him something to drink and then talk, you know, and then the days go longer. Not shorter, I should say. Yeah.
So maybe just before we leave, so you had your Extension Club, and the Methodist Women had an organization. You were probably after them, right?
Yes, this organization, it was called Farm Bureau when my mother belonged when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Extension, and now it's FCE.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to going, and they had trips. They would have a national trip, and a bus would go from Kansas, and you could go to this national meeting. Well, I went to 12 state meetings and 8 national meetings. I got to, my husband, we had had some nice trips, but he didn't care to travel. We'd gone to Florida, we'd gone to California, but he said, if you want to travel, you go ahead, enjoy yourself. You don't have to stay home just because I don't want to go. So I went, and I ended up by going on 30 bus trips, and then I also went to all 50 states. I was Morley Lake or something. We had get up on these bus trips, you get up and you tell a little bit about yourself. I got up and I told about myself, and I said, and I have been in all 51 states. Nobody said a thing until it was over. This old boy back here said, Virginia, how in the world, where'd you find that other state? I said, oh, did I say that? I had just had my 51st anniversary, and I was a little confused. Well, then I started going overseas, so I got to go to 7 countries overseas because a supportive husband, and he was just, when I'd come home, I'd talk the whole day at least because he wanted to know all about the trips. And I kept a diary, and I didn't take many pictures, but I kept little brochures and so forth about it. So somebody said, well, he's sure nice to let you go. And I said, well, I was smart aleck. I said, I was free, white, and 21, so the way I went. They said, yeah, but some of these men don't. But he wanted me to go. He always said, well, you do as you want to. I want you to enjoy yourself.
Sounds like you had a partnership with him. I mean, a real partnership.
Yes, yes, yes. And then we went in the store together and, you know, and always worked together. And maybe that's why we get along as well as we did. And then when we moved over here, we gave up the apartments after so many years. And I wanted to move on this side. And we lived over there and slept upstairs. And I said, Howard said, well, I've always lived over here. I'd rather stay over there. He said, you go ahead and fix this up, this side, as you want. You've worked hard enough. You just get what you want, good husband. And so I did. And but he said, I'll stay over there. So until he died, he walked upstairs to bed. And he slept upstairs, I slept in there. And somebody said, no wonder you have such a good relationship. You don't have to live together. I said, well, we live together. I said, we just don't. He has his apartment and I have mine. He has his TV, I have mine. And he do get along. He watched his ball games. I could watch whatever. I think it helps. You know, it's good for anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have anything special. I said, I collect music boxes. I have 16 or more. And I collect stuffed rabbits. And my hobbies have been travel and reading. And that's, I would still be traveling. I have this nice gal that works for me, Judy Kirkbride, and she's been with me almost 2 years, and she's wonderful to me. Mm-hmm. She'd do anything for me, that girl would. And I said, how come you're so good to me, Judy? Well, you're not hard to be good to. And I said, you know, if I didn't have this broken hip, we'd still be taking some trips. And I, you know, we probably would. Now I get my cataract surgery, well, I'll have good reading, I can read, watch TV. So even if I can't walk very well, why? I get along.
You've seen a lot in your lifetime. The changes. I mean, what do you
well,
think of,
yes.
When you think of your elderly relatives who probably lost their eyesight when they got older, and here you are with cataract surgery. And
oh, yes. My husband had cataract surgery from Dr. Bain, and also my sister, Elsie Orangeman. I didn't realize how wonderful Dr. Bain is. He is great. He's a nice, he's just real nice person. And it's really no big deal, except I was a little nervous when I got ready to have it, and because I blink all the time. And I said, can you give me something to settle me down? He said, well, yeah, I'll give you a little anesthetic. And so they did the first time. And then the second time, I said, I'm not nervous. I don't think you need to give it to me. He said, well, I think I'd rather. He said, when you see me coming, he said, you start blinking. I said, I don't want to. He said, I know, but you do. And so he gave me the very little, just enough to relax me. But I remember this was just last Tuesday. I was laying there, and I could hear my hearing aid was starting to whistle, and I didn't say anything. I don't think I did. I don't know if I did or not. But I wanted to reach up, and but they have you strapped down, so you can't do a thing. And I don't know whether, it don't matter. I guess worse things have happened, maybe. And that's all. It was just a whistling. But I remember when I came to completely and all, it wasn't whistling. So I bet somebody reached
they,
over and did
would.
Something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they would do that.
You have some other questions, Miss Rosetta, about Kingsley? Or?
You know, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
You're doing really good.
You're doing great. You're doing great. You were active in, was it the American Legion Auxiliary or the VFW Auxiliary?
Both. I belonged to both.
You belong to both, okay? Because I can remember you marching in the parade.
Oh yes,
not that many years ago.
Yes, we had fun. VFW Auxiliary. We dressed in our formals and really had a good time. I was a joiner. I liked to go to things, and then extension. I've always belonged to extension, just to be with people. You know, I like people. Me.
Downtown questions, okay? About how Kinsley used to be, okay? And where the buildings and things were, okay?
Well, you know, I don't remember as much changes. Howard was 95 when he died, and up until the last year, he had a very good memory, and somebody was always calling him. Betty Wurr called him a lot, wanted to know about old time things.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remember except our old church. And I remember the old opera house, which is that building, you know, where it is across the street from the bank.
Yes.
And we used to go roller skating up there.
Okay.
When I was, was first married, I guess. Because I didn't get, when I was a kid, I didn't get to town very much. And I always wanted to live in town. I finally got to. I said I would never marry a farmer. Didn't want to live in the country.
Do you have any pictures of downtown Kinsley or anything like that?
Of what?
Of Kinsley. Pictures.
I'm going to have to look in some of the old albums.
We'd love a picture of the opera house.
You know, I don't think...
We have none.
I'm sure I don't either. No,
that's
no.
Just so
no.
Okay. I should have brought my notes. My memory is not... My memory isn't like yours.
I don't know.
Okay. Ray Smith built the shop that you had, right?
I think so.
Okay. There, was there any Did he tear down something when he built that, or do you remember?
I don't remember that. That was before. I was still in the country.
You're
a little,
still in the country.
Apparently.
Okay.
Apparently.
And Ray Smith had his old shop before he built the new one. Where was that at? You don't know.
Sorry, I don't know. I didn't know Mary Smith till I went to work for him. Then I worked for him 3 years. Became his right-hand man, I guess, or I handled his business and you know, and made deposits for him and took care of his money and
did everything.
He trusted in me, you know.
Well, did your family get to come to town on Saturday nights?
Oh, yes, yes. My brother would all come to town on Saturday night, and I came with them. Yes, yes.
And what was that like?
Oh, it was a good, you just, I don't know what you did. You walk up and down the street, and you met everybody. You'd go in the stores, but that was a big time, yes. Even after we were married, we'd go to town on Saturday night. That was the thing, yeah.
It was basically a time of just visiting and shopping.
Yes, visiting, yes. And then when we had the store, well, when I worked for Ray Smith, people would come in and have the drinks. And after we had the store, we were one of the few soda, well, we were the only, I guess, soda fountain that was open on Sunday. And I remember so many people. They were even clear out in the street on a Sunday afternoon, trying to get something to drink, you know. And so the first year we were in business, my gosh, we made enough almost to pay for buying the place.
Now, did you work 7 days a week?
Yes. I said eight. I felt like it.
Sure. For how many years?
From 48 to 84. 32 to 33 years. Yes, yes.
48 to 84. But when did you stop closing on Sunday? Do you remember when you stopped closing on stopped working on Sundays, what I meant.
I guess. I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I just told Howard I was tired. I said, I can't take any more of that 7 day a week.
Okay. Did anybody complain because you were working on Sunday? Like the church people, did they say anything because
no.
You were working on Sunday?
No, not really.
They probably wanted to drink.
Because that was very unusual to work on Sunday.
I guess it was. You know, I never thought about it.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
It's a soda fountain, I suppose that's... I never even thought about it.
Oh, okay. Let's see, what else?
Okay, I'm going to turn this off.